Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We began this hour talking about things out of sight in the U.S. government's conduct of intelligence. Now a look at some phenomena between our planet's surface that have, at one time, and could, again, radically change things for us surface dwellers.
Giant ash cloud created by this super volcano!
That guy's crazy, right, Daddy?
I don't think so.
It's gonna blow, whoa, 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 volcano!
Crazy, the fire's popping off all over the city.
The west side is a million people!
There are gonna be a million dead people if we don't evacuate! When Mount St. Helens blew, the force was greater than the Hiroshima bomb!
Take Yellowstone National Park, for instance. Good place to wait out the volcano, right? It's known for the geothermally driven geyser Old Faithful that boils over on schedule, heated from volcanic processes below the surface of an active seismic zone. But that little bit of moisture, it turns out, is just a tiny down payment on the possibility of a huge volcanic eruption beneath Yellowstone. A volcano without a picturesque mountain cone. No, no, no. Just the ability to pack a planet-shaking and possibly continent-splitting punch, according to some scientific revelations presented this month to the American Geophysical Union. David Ferguson is with us now, postdoctoral research scientist at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. David, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So Yellowstone, scary place, because underneath it is a gigantic volcano, super volcano. I guess you guys don't like to say
super anything,
right?
So the term super volcano is an informal term, but it's becoming more common in scientific discussion. And it really just refers to a type of volcanic system that is capable, on some occasions, of producing eruptions that are really at the top end of the size of eruptions that have happened throughout Earth history. Really, you know, staggeringly large events, but also very rare events.
And let's just talk a little bit, because if you look at the geology of the United States, there's a giant sort of lake of lava that pretty much forms the Pacific Northwest from an eruption that took place, I don't know, a long, long time ago. I was in Africa recently, and there's all this evidence in Southwest Africa of underground eruptions that are just eroding away. So you have these mountains that actually were part of eruptions that took place hundreds of millions of years ago under the ground.
Sure. So when a volcano erupts, what we see coming out at the surface is actually typically a small percentage of the magma that is feeding the eruption. And so a lot of that magma never makes it to the surface. It cools down, it crystallizes underground, forming igneous rocks. And then if over time the ground surface is eroded away, we see the roots of those volcanoes exposed at the surface. So in Africa, for example, there is the roots of a very large old volcanic system that is now exposed to the surface.
So what is the chance that the continent of North America could be remade by the forces beneath Yellowstone if this blows? And do you have the capability of even monitoring it? I covered the Mount St. Helens eruption, which was something that happened pretty much above the surface for the entire time and was pretty easy to monitor compared with some of the stuff you're talking about.
So, well, an eruption at Yellowstone is a very well-monitored place, and it's incredibly unlikely that anything would happen without quite a long period of increasing activity. So I think we would certainly know about it. And it's important to say, I think, that although we know that Yellowstone has produced very large eruptions, eruptions of the size that would certainly affect the continental U.S., these are far rarer than its typical activity. And for every one of these eruptions, there are tens to hundreds of much smaller eruptions that happen more frequently.
So when you guys at the observatory there, Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory, think about where on the planet forces of the scale of what have been seen to form the continents are likely to occur, is there a map where you go, well,
sure,
I'm going to be over here? You know, things – we're not talking about pop-offs. We're talking about lakes of lava, right?
Yeah. So it's – for Yellowstone, it's not quite a lake of lava. It's more it's a region under the park that contains a certain percentage of molten rock. In the case of this new study, they model that as about 10%. And that would be the magma that would feed a future eruption. In terms of where we might find these volcanic systems on the Earth, there are really three places. At the boundaries between tectonic plates, either where these plates are being pulled apart, such as in the middle of the oceans, where these plates come together, such as the west coast of America, or in the case of Yellowstone, regions where we believe hot material from deeper in the Earth, a region called the mantle, is being pulsed upwards in a plume or like a jet. And when that impinges on the Earth's crust, it's hot enough to generate quite a lot of magma. And we believe that Yellowstone is the surface manifestation of a very hot region within the Earth.
All right, let me try to decode that a little bit. You've got in the West plates coming together.
Yes.
And this would be a typical zone of serious seismic activity. But Yellowstone stands out because in the midst of these plates coming together, there's like a pressure hole in the mantle.
Sure.
That's creating this
yeah,
bubble.
There's a region of anomalously hot material beneath Yellowstone. And we know that that's been active for in fact, tens of millions of years. The Yellowstone volcano is the latest surface expression of that. And that's providing a very steady supply of magma that makes its way up into the crust that ponds beneath Yellowstone and every so often will reach sufficient pressure to burst out and cause an eruption.
Have you seen a volcano?
Been lucky enough. Being a volcanologist, I'm lucky enough to travel to many volcanoes in Africa, Hawaii, Chile, Iceland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lucky.
They're spectacular and amazing phenomena.
Yeah, so deep down in your heart, you want to be able to see one of these things, right? You want, come on. You want one of these continental blow things.
It would be fascinating scientifically.
Yeah.
It would present, I think, a major challenge to civilization.
Yeah. To civilization.
But yeah, it would be
this is what you wish
a fascinating
for.
Event. I think since I currently live in the continental U.S., I would probably hope against Yellowstone erupting.
You're a stakeholder. Kind of a competing stakeholder.
Yes. One,
part of your stake is living in North America. The other part is being a seismologist.
Yes. And of course, an eruption the size of Yellowstone, there would be no way to really witness it and survive within 100 or several hundred kilometers of the volcano.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to stay in the observatory up
there
in Columbia.
Sure, or if you had a satellite or something.
they have these.
They do have these. That would be the best way to monitor an eruption of that scale.
Trying as hard as he can not to cackle over the possibility of a continent-ending eruption, David Ferguson, postdoctoral research scientist at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. Thanks so much.
Thank you.